The weirdness in Bellwood all began with the smoke in the air and the ducks in Mr. Babbage's backyard. After they showed up, a lot of other weird things started happening. Mysteries, you could call them. Some of them were scratch your head and say, kind of weird. But a couple of them were big time weird. Stare up at the night sky and wonder about the meaning of life kind of weird. And hope that while I'm staring up there, a bird does not poop on me, because that would not be a good sign regarding the meaning of life. That kind of weird. The smoke was easy to explain. A wildfire was burning in a big state forest outside of town. When the wind shifted the wrong way, all of Bellwood smelled like a campfire. The ducks in Babbage's yard were a different story. They appeared one seemingly normal Tuesday morning, scattered all over the grass. There must have been hundreds of them, their little yellow tails poking into the air, each duck with the same creepy look on its face, eyes wide open and vacant, like empty garages, bill curved upward in a kind of lipsticked maniac smile. I could picture the moment Babbage discovered them. He looks out at his backyard as he drinks his morning coffee, then boom! His mouth gapes open, his eyes go wonky, his coffee mug drops to the ground. Crash! Splash! Duckies? Duckies! These were rubber duckies, the kind you take a bath with. Nobody could explain where they came from. None of his neighbors had ducks in their backyards. But Babbage's yard? Overrun with ducks. A mystery. News spread quickly in Bellwood. A dog could barf up an action figure on one side of town, and before it was mopped up, people would be debating the finer points of canine digestion on the other side of town. I know, because that actually happened. Don't believe me? Ask my dog, Ronald. But that's what you get for living in such a small, out-of-the-way place. And so when rubber duckies invaded Babbage's yard, everybody knew about it. And fast. By 10 in the morning, the one and onlys, that's my two best friends and me, were racing our bikes up the cul-de-sacs of Bellwood, cutting through backyards and trundling through woods, hoping to get there before the little visitors vanished. Shank's peephole and I made the crosstown trek an exceptionally good time. Apologies to Mrs. Hoover's geraniums, may they RIP. And rolled up to a clump of stupefied Bellwoodians staring at the ducks with wary eyes. Mr. Babbage's dog, a little white yappy thing, was bouncing around the yard, growling wildly at the ducks. Officer Portnoy, who had just visited our fifth grade classroom on the last day of school to remind us about proper bicycle safety, was talking to Mr. Babbage at the edge of the lawn. Portnoy held a duck inches from his face. It looked like they were having a staring contest. The duck was winning.
"Okay, one and onlys," Shank said. "Time to gather clues. Paul, you go snoop on Mr. Babbage and Officer Portnoy. See if you can overhear anything that might be useful. People and I will get a closer look at these duckies."
I strolled over and stood behind Babbage and Officer Portnoy, trying to appear like a normal, non-snooping kid.
"Well, Mr. Baggage," I heard Officer Portnoy say, "I'm stymied."
"Please, call me Lance,"
Babbage said, nervously smoothing the collar of his bathrobe and shifting his gaze from his transformed backyard to the growing crowd of onlookers. Mr. Babbage was always very well dressed, and today was no exception. His bathrobe was scarlet and silky, and it went all the way down to his feet, which were clad in slippers made of some kind of animal fur. His thin black hair was parted perfectly to one side, and his thick eyebrows seemed to be combed,